It is wonderful to see you again. It's wonderful to worship with you. It's wonderful to be a part of such a loving and friendly and Bible-based congregation. Appreciate all those who've led in our worship today. And I appreciate all those who have come our way to worship and are able to be with us today. We do have a family that is here today that have been visiting with us. And I am very happy to report to you today that their visiting hat is coming off and their desire to be a part of this congregation hat is coming on. And so I'm going to announce and then get them to stand up and we'll welcome them here to Azalea City. I'm very thankful for John and April Gibbons. Miss Gibbons, Coach Gibbons, April, as you'll know her, works over at Mobile Christian School. They have children that have gone through Mobile Christian School, one that is there now, have a child that's gone through Mobile Christian, one that is there now. But she teaches over there, she coaches over there, and they are wonderful members. They have three children, Brady and Tara, newlyweds for the most part, right? And so they're here with them. Chandler Gibbons, that will be the last time I refer to him as Chandler because we call him Catfish, is here. And also Cayman Gibbons is here. They also have others with them today, but I'm going to ask the Gibbons family, if y'all will, stand up, please. Where did Mama go? There's Mama. There's April. Sorry, April. Welcome them to Azalea City. Thank you. We're very excited to have them. They are phenomenal people. Get to know them if you haven't already. I've known them for some time now, and so many others have as well. Love them, appreciate them, glad they're here. Last few weeks, we talked about Jesus. We talked about who He is. This week, I'm changing gears on you. We're still talking about moving forward. But at the end of the day, what Jesus left us with was an opportunity to use our influence. If we know Jesus Christ like we should know Jesus Christ, if we obey Jesus Christ like He desires us to obey Him, then what we have is an influence. We studied this morning Matthew 28 in my Bible class where Jesus gives the Great Commission to go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of this age. We call that the Great Commission. What Jesus is reminding His disciples, or commanding His disciples, and commanding us to do during that, is to use our influence. I want to take you back to an Old Testament story in 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5 is the story of Naaman. Naaman was a great soldier. He had done great things as a warrior. He had led great victories as a leader amongst these. But Naaman had a problem. Many of you, if you've known the Bible, or if you know the Bible, or you remember these stories from maybe Bible school, Naaman's issue is he had a disease called leprosy. Leprosy is still a very bad disease, but at that time, you'll recall, it was really one of the worst you could have. Everywhere that lepers went, they had to shout out they were leprous. They had to say, I'm unclean, stay away from me. It was a very humiliating, very painful, lost body parts and different things. It could be a very, very, very awful disease. Well, here's this great soldier who's led these great victories, now has this terrible disease. Let's pick up in 2 Kings 5, verse 1 now. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Now, I want to stop right there because we have an unsung hero. It's a girl, a servant girl from Israel who has been taken captive. You have Naaman, you have Naaman's wife, and you have the servant girl. Along the way, the servant girl has learned of the gifts of this prophet, right? She has learned of the power of God. Naaman obviously treated this young lady well because she thinks enough of Naaman and Naaman's wife to relay to Naaman through Naaman's wife about how he can be healed. What happens? He goes and he dips 7 times in the Jordan, and his skin is like a young child's. I suggest to you today that none of this happens if it were not for this young servant girl's influence. Think about this Bible story. We've always talked about how we have to do it exactly God's way, and that is exactly right. He had to dip in the Jordan 7 times. We always talk about the power of God. We all, and rightfully so, but how often do we talk about this servant girl? Think about how she changed history. And it's all because she decided to use her influence. You and I also have extraordinary influence. Whether you know it or not, people are watching you. They are studying you. They are studying me. They are watching and observing us. Sometimes it's one word. Sometimes it's one act. Sometimes it's one prayer. Folks, we do not have to be famous to have influence. But we do have to recognize the power of our influence. Influence. It means to affect something. The word affect means to change something. So we have the ability to effect or change something or someone. How do I know that? Because Jesus Christ said it in Matthew chapter 5. He said, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We sing it as children, right? We need to sing it as adults. Let this Christian light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? This little Christian light of mine, why do we do that? So that we can have an influence on this world. So that we can be a positive influence in somebody's negative life. The Apostle Paul was a great influence. Brother Dixon talked about his conversion today in Acts chapter 9. Let's go to some of his writing now in Ephesians chapter 5. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 5. We're going to read together verses 1 through 16. Kind of a long reading, but I really want you to hear these words. By the way, Jeff, Jace did do a great job. You did too, Jeff, by the way. Jace, awesome job. Jace this morning, he came and he got the scripture, and I said, "Look, man, if it's too much, you read just verse 1. I said, "It might say 5, 1, and 2 on the screen, but if it's too much to read, read 1. He said, "I'll read them both." See, that's using his influence. not easy to get up here and read Scripture. It's not easy to get up here and do what Brother Dixon and others have done. But they're wanting to use their influence, and there's so many ways for us to do it. But let's begin in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication, that's sex outside of marriage, and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. We are saints today if we're saved by the blood of Jesus. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting. But what should we replace that? Rather, giving of thanks. For this you know, these are not the words of Terry Cagle. These aren't even the words of the Apostle Paul, even though he penned them. These are the words of the Holy Spirit. No fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. In other words, let's just say I was going to have an extramarital affair on my wife. Get fired from here. Probably, you know, if I was unwilling to get out of it, the elders would have to take action against me. But I could find a church where somebody would love me, where somebody would give me some deceitful words and say, you know what, you're just fine. We could put any sin there. I just used one that would shock us. But put any sin there. He said, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. When you are called out, you got to be different. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And do not miss this last verse. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You know, in life, there's a couple kinds of influence. Really boils down to this. There's negative influence and there's positive influence. Let's talk about some negative influences for a moment. How about Pilate? Pontius Pilate, governor, powerful man, had the ability to release Barabbas or the miracle worker. But you know what? I love Mark's account of it there. Pilate basically asked the question, what do you want done? They said, crucify him. And he said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, crucify him. So Pilate wanting to gratify the crowd, release Barabbas. And he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Pilate could have used his influence for good, but he was afraid of the crowd. If you and I are afraid of the crowd, then we're no different than Pilate. What about the innkeeper in Bethlehem? Ever thought about that person? He had the chance to make room, but he didn't. You see, I guess if he would have, we wouldn't have these cute little manger scenes today. We wouldn't have, you know, a hotel room nativity in our dens, would we, at Christmas time? But he had the opportunity to do good. But instead, the Son of God was born in a food trough for animals. What about Judas? He was in the inner circle. He walked with the man, he talked with the man, he prayed with the man, he loved with the man, he helped do miracles with the man. He did a lot of great things in the inner circle. He was at the Last Supper. But he sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Turn to Colossians chapter 4, please. Let's talk about a man by the name of Demas. Colossians 4, beginning in verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Sounds like a great thing, right? We know Luke, but Demas we don't know too much about. But here's what Demas was. He was a supporter of Paul's missions. He was a fellow worker of the gospel. And I'm guessing he was a friend. But go to the book of Philemon. Look at verse 23. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. As do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. Sounds great so far. But then 2 Timothy comes along. Let's read chapter 4. Verses 9 and 10. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica. Demas lost the opportunity. Demas lost the influence. Because he loved this present world. Now, church, I need you to hear me. Because what I'm saying today is as serious as anything I've ever said. Some of us have to clean up our influence. Some of us have to clean up the way we live. Some of us have to clean up the way we talk. The way we act. The way we react. Because if not, and I'm not telling you this to get on to you, I'm telling this because I love you. Demas was a great man. He was a fellow worker, he was a friend, maybe even a friend of Philemon and Paul. But at the end of the day, he loved this world too much, and this world crept into his blood, into his mind, into his heart, into his soul. And he left the church and the way. Now, that's negative. But we could spend all day talking about positive influences, couldn't we? I told you there's two kinds. It boils down to negative and positive. Everybody has an influence. Is it negative? Is it positive? What about that servant girl we just talked about, 2 Kings 5? Very positive, right? I don't know her name. She didn't have any idea that thousands of years later, we'd be preaching a sermon talking about her positive influence. She did it because she loved people. She loved Naaman. She wanted to help him. What about Esther? She was under a Persian king. Mordecai cares for her, uses his influence to encourage her for such a time as this. You see, we're here with the same opportunities for such a time as this. Why were we born right now? You ever thought about that? Why in the last 80 years or so, I don't know what our oldest person here is, most mature person here is. Now, I know we've got some that aren't able to be with us that are older than that. But why in the last 100 years, we'll say, were we all born right now? Well, I believe we were born for such a time as this. You know, it might be 30 seconds with the girl in line at Walmart. It might be just a few moments you have with the waiter at the restaurant. It might be a quick reaction to a situation that doesn't always go our way. We can use our influences in these type moments, these times such as this, either negatively or positively. So what I want to do today is I want to talk about Ephesians 5. And I want to maybe have some rubber meet the road kind of stuff. But I think it's good for our oldest among us to our youngest among us. We all, if we're going to truly move forward, the church is going to move forward in these dark days, in these hard times, then we've got to use our influence for Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, he simply says, be imitators of God. You know how he says to do it? As dear children. You ever had children mock you? You know, sometimes they do it to be funny, but a lot of times when my kids were little, they were doing it. I can remember them getting our shoes out, walking in daddy's shoes, Bo, Madeline, walking in mama's shoes. You know why they're doing that? Because we're the influence in their life. They're going to react to a situation. They're going to act with a situation a lot of the times the way their parents do, especially at young ages. So we're children of God, so who should we be imitating? Him. How's Jesus react? You know, our teenagers, Justin's done a great job with them, and most of them have in their possession or on their bodies WWJD braces. You remember when that fad was really popular? Well, I don't like it when things are fads and they're popular. I like it when they're not fads and they come back. You know what I mean? Because that shows there's some seriousness behind it. Well, I'll notice that, and I've actually, not with our teenagers, but with some other teenagers I've observed in times past, I've maybe caught them saying or doing something, I'd be like, is that bracelet not reminding you at this moment? You know, but it is a great thought, isn't it? What would Jesus do? You know, in a situation with somebody that makes me mad, what would Jesus do? Somebody that says something to me that kind of makes me a little bit sideways, gives me a little bit of heartburn. What would Jesus do? Looking at certain things on the internet, what would Jesus do? You see, if I'm going to imitate somebody, I need to be imitating Jesus Christ. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ Jesus. So when he writes, imitate God, be imitators of God, as dear children, there's no greater person being we should imitate than Jesus Christ. Secondly, he says it this way, walk in love. He says, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. You know, as disciples of our Lord, the greatest thing we can do is walk in love. Again, if I'm imitating Jesus Christ, that's what it's going to be. What did he say? He said, they wanted to know, what's the greatest command? Again, they were trying to catch him and all that stuff, but Jesus took it very serious, didn't he? He said, I'll tell you what they are, love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and prophets. Two commandments. Now, there's a lot in those two commandments, but two commandments, he said, and they all dealt with love. You know, if we would imitate Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have to worry about the way we love. We wouldn't have to worry about the way we treat others, the way we help others. Here's another one. Thirdly, it's one of my favorite ones to say. You've heard me say this before. Stay away from stink. Now, let me explain to you. Let me just say, if there was a smell that was happening in our walls, let's just say, and we know something's crawled in there and died, and we have to open up a wall and we get it out, we're going to take that stinky dead animal and say, hey, kids, let's play with this. You know, I want you to pet it. I want you to love on it. You know, just put it in your heart. You know, caress it. Kiss it. No, why? Because that's disgusting. Because it's dead. It's rotten. It stinks. We don't want to get, you get stink on you, it's hard to get stink off. But you know what? Sometimes as Christians, we just waller in stink. Let me explain it to you. Back in verse 2, it talked about Christ's influence and sacrifice. You know what God said? He said it was a sweet-smelling aroma. You ever smelled dead, rotten flesh, burning flesh? It's not a sweet-smelling aroma, but to God it was. Because that wasn't stink. That was sacrifice. No one loves stink. Listen to this stink again, verse 3. Let there be no, I'm reading it from a different version this time, sexual immorality. I'm not in the right atmosphere to tell you exactly what that means. Fornication would go into that. But there is a concept today that as long as people are not doing what a husband and wife do, I'm trying to understand my audience, okay, or the audience. There is a concept out there, as long as couples, as long as adults, as long as married people or whatever, outside of marriage, outside of this, are not doing with someone else what a husband and wife do in their bedroom, they're okay. That's not what that teaches. It is way more than just what happens in a bedroom. If you need more clarification on that, see me later. Impurity. These are stinks. Greed. Don't let it be named among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes. These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. You know where a lot of stink comes from? Social media. Maybe he finally got to the point. I have a couple social media accounts. One is Facebook, one is Twitter, one is Instagram. I have Twitter really to help my son. I have Facebook, and there have been many a days I wish I didn't. I used to put all kinds of stuff on there. I found out just about everything can offend somebody, so now I just put my family. My family offends you, then maybe we need to talk. And social Instagram, they just tie together. So I just do pictures on one and pictures on the other. I don't know what TikTok is. I do know, I'm sorry, let me say it this way. I don't have TikTok, but I know what TikTok is. Okay? Can you believe that there are Christians who think it's okay to find a profanity-laced song and go on there, and even though they're not saying it, lip-sync every word to it. I'm not talking about secular people. I'm talking about people in the church. Can you believe that? What if today I had TikTok? And listen, I don't know rap music, but I remember when I was a youth minister, I'm dating myself, Eminem was a rapper, right? And I remember teaching a class on some of his lyrics. Chances are I could pull up an Eminem song and find some with the F word and other words in it, right? I mean, am I too far off on that? Help me out, guys. Who else? I mean, anyhow, let me just find a rapper. I don't know who he is or she is or what. Cardi B, that's another name I've heard. Okay? Let me just say I get on I'm on my TikTok today and I want all y'all to join me. And I go on there and I sing every word to that vile song she wrote. Oh no, I didn't say it. I was just lip syncing it. Y'all just gonna let me get away with that? Why should we let others get away with that? Why am I held at a different standard? Listen, I know a harder judgment. You ain't got to worry about me doing that. But I'm just saying, that stink. What are we thinking? What are we doing? We really need to check ourselves. Oh, and you might think I'm just talking to teenagers. I'm not. I'm talking to people that ought to be teaching Bible classes. Folks, who are we? Read again. I'm not going to read it for you. Ephesians 5, 3 and following. We must get away from stinking thinking and stinking up our influence. Last one for today. What do we do then? We walk in the light. Simple as that. We walk in the light. It's Ephesians 5:14, right? When we walk in the light, you know what happens? We produce good fruit. Think about that. We produce good fruit. Anybody want to go plant a bunch of peach? If you love peaches, you want to go plant a bunch of peach trees that produce rotten peaches? No. What are you going to do? You're going to kill them. You're going to cut them down. You're going to get rid of them. Jesus Christ will do the same with us. If we do not produce good fruit, He is going to chop us down and burn us in a fire. His words, not mine. What else happens when we walk in the light? We understand what is acceptable to the Lord. So today, if I can't differentiate if this is good or bad, then maybe I'm not walking in the Lord. Maybe I'm not walking in the light. So again, it's not a get on to you sermon. It's a let's wake up sermon. Let's think about what we're doing, who we are. This is how Satan gets in. It's how he destroys families. It's how he destroys things. Thirdly, if I'm walking in the light, I have no part in these things. In verse 11 it says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And then finally, I become transparent. You know, I've always told you, I told a group of men yesterday, I was out at Gulf Coast Bible Camp doing a men's retreat. I tell you, I tell them, I am me. I am me. If I'm cutting my grass, if I'm preaching here, I'm going to be me. That is not a perfect person. That is an imperfect person trying to get to a perfect place, recognize that he's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. But I know I live in a glass house. I know that I'm under a microscope from time to time. And I'm okay with that because I need to be in check. But don't we all? Don't we all need to ask and examine ourselves? As we get ready to close, I really just want to challenge us all. There's going to be an opportunity. There's going to be an opportunity for us to make a difference. What difference are we going to make? You see, from time to time, people disappoint us. You might go somewhere today and somebody's going to disappoint you. Does it give us the right to be profane to them? You're going to go somewhere today and maybe tomorrow or whatever and somebody's going to get on your nerves. Listen, this morning, I've got a vehicle that has blind spot detecting on it. You know what I'm talking about? It'll let you know when something's... It didn't detect it. I came over on somebody and they honked their horn and everything else and I don't know what else they did. But man, I was just so thankful to God I didn't hit them. You know? Well, that may be me coming over on you or somebody else doing that today. How are we going to react to them? You see, we have an influence. Are we going to use it to negative? Are we going to use it for positive? He said, "Dear children, imitate, be imitators of God." You see, today, the best thing we can do is decide to follow Jesus Christ. If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, there's not a greater influence we can have on our family, on our friends, on any of those we come in contact with, than to say, "Today, I was baptized into Christ, and I'm following Jesus." Or maybe you are here, and some things have really tempted you. Maybe you need to make it right. Maybe you need to go home and delete some things. Maybe we all do. Maybe it's not a social media thing we need to delete. Maybe it's something else we need to delete. But you see, we have the opportunity today to get back in the light. Don't be Demas. Be more like that servant girl. Let's make a decision right now as together we stand and sing.